I never meant to call you when you sound wrong. I never meant to call you in pain. I'm the one that wants that night to see laughing.
Good afternoon in stereo.
Triple stereo. Double
yeah.
Stereo. Is that
how that works? How would that work?
Triario.
Good point.
Shapiro?
Great.
Shapiro?
Shapiro? Travolta?
Where are we going with this?
Juice! Juice!
Oh, shit.
The juice is loose. Yo, we got three mics in this bitch. Three mics in this bitch. You know, to pay tribute.
I did not think she could fit all three, but.
I know, it's amazing.
To pay tribute to the brilliant prince, we are getting high quality audio up in this place right now. And we're cranking. Zach just ordered a orange mic.
Bright neon orange microphone.
An orange snowball, which has never existed before. But now there's, you have an orange snowball in
I
front
still
of
can't
you.
Get over how much that fucking pink one was.
Yes.
Ignore this.
All right,
I should have done that before we started.
Probably.
You're fired.
Nick's got a white snowball in front of him. And I got the good old classic here.
Good old classic.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
You know. Working on some stuff right now.
What actually. Are you doing? You're podcasting.
This is important.
What is it?
I'm making something that you didn't know you needed.
Are you photoshopping something?
Of course.
Yes, I am. We're gonna be treated to another one of Nick's photoshops.
All right.
I was struck with inspiration.
Oh boy.
As all of your photoshops are.
And
I think we all remember the Santa Claus.
That was a decent.
That's a great one.
I'm giving you something you didn't know you needed.
The Travolta with
which is
the,
everything you've ever given us, Nick.
The Travolta with the Catwoman mask was pretty great.
That
too.
Was pretty good.
We were gonna do a weekly segment of Nick's Photoshop of the Week, but now you're treated to one right now. Nick's Photoshop of the Week,
yeah.
Live.
You guys are hearing me Photoshop live. I hope you're excited.
Photoshopping furiously. Turn the audience on.
Fuck
damn it,
audience. We always gotta. You can't just turn them on. They're not like a light switch, Zach. You gotta ease them in.
They're not like one of Prince's lovers. All right.
Yeah. The panties don't just drop.
Yeah. So his royal badness passed away this week. We're all aware of that.
In true Watat fashion, we're going to capitalize off his death.
Absolutely.
Naturally.
By watching a shitty movie of his, too.
Of course, yeah.
You know, for Bowie...
Fourth and final, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I guess so, isn't it?
Yeah,
did you say fourth and final?
That was
this was his fourth appearance and his last appearance.
That was his last movie. I mean, he did obviously a lot of scores, but this is the last one that he actually appeared on screen for, huh?
I was under that impression, yeah.
Oh, wow. We're recapping a lesser-known Prince property, Graffiti Bridge, from 1993. An interesting period in Prince's career.
Was it 93?
Yeah, I think
so.
It
was 90.
Right? No, 93. Or, oh, yeah, no, yeah, 1990, I'm sorry, yes, 1990. An interesting period in his career, for sure. And this is apparently an unofficial sequel to the cult classic Purple Rain. Now, none of us at this table...
He was in like, video shorts.
Okay, that don't count.
Theatrical. How about that? His fourth and final theatric...
Yes.
...debut.
Now, nobody at this table has seen Purple Rain...
Correct.
Or at least recently. Zach saw it like a long time ago. Doesn't remember anything,
like, I don't
anything
remember
about
really
it.
Anything, except the motorcycle, of course.
Yes.
Which, of course, you noted 1,000 times was not in this.
All they had to do was get the same motorcycle. How guaranteed Prince had it in his garage.
I guarantee you.
I guarantee you he didn't want them to copyright it by using it.
Prince probably sleeps in that motorcycle. Or at least he did. He slept.
In the motorcycle? Who is he? In the gas tank?
On it. Sure.
He just curls up.
He turns into a little ball, like fucking.
See it.
Yeah, like
if anyone could.
Yeah, some armadillo creature and crawls into the gas tank. Yeah, so what were we saying? Oh, Nick's never even seen it. I've seen the music.
Wait, was that supposed to be more surprising?
Yeah, no.
Even Nick hasn't seen
even
this.
Nick hasn't seen this movie.
No, that it's cinephile. More like, of course Nick hasn't seen it.
Of course Nick hasn't seen it. And
I'm shocked at how many movies you haven't seen.
It's all of them.
Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous.
He's too busy with his 500 jobs.
Yeah.
He's too busy doing all that. And I have seen the musical numbers, and I think they're amazing, and I've seen bits and pieces when it's been on VH1, but I've never actually sat down and comprehended the plot of Purple Rain. So we decided to jump into this one. The reviews have been bad. 13% on Rotten Tomatoes is what we saw. And we decided to honor Prince one final time. A lot of stuff on the Nico Empire about Prince's.
Now, let me ask you, did it live up to the hype?
No.
I meant the hype on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yes. Yes. Totally.
Good. Perfect.
Absolutely, right. Totally.
Because, yeah, it did. It was bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Not a good film.
Although, actually, hold on. You and I are going...
We're going to call it a film?
We made plans about halfway through this movie.
Oh, yeah.
That Nico and I are going to go see Purple Rain, because a bunch of theaters are streaming it.
Yeah, it's going to be at AMC, or it's been at AMC all week. Plainville's actually one of the few ones that it's showing at. It's only, yeah, like 18 theaters in the country or something. Yeah, Purple Rain on the big screen this Sunday.
Yeah,
I'm looking
we're going
to
go Sunday.
It's a big deal, guys.
And I'm hoping to like that one a lot more than this, because... All right, okay, before we get into the flaws and the specifics of this movie, I want to talk about...
So, we're not going to talk about the movie? I'm confused.
It's a good point. Can't argue with that.
Oh, by the way, Prince wrote and directed this. We should point out. This is Prince's brainchild. He was given full creative control, and at times when you give Prince full creative control of something, it sort of backfires on
you. It becomes too Princey.
Yes, it was very Princey.
Didn't think that was a thing.
Princey,
but
is
it's
a
too
great
Princey.
Word. Princey is a very great word.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying that word.
Okay, let's talk about the plot of this movie. I want to play a game. I want to go around this table right now. I want each of us to explain the plot of Graffiti Bridge. I keep forgetting the name of it.
Like the quick plot that's like on the back of the VHS covers.
No.
Or like actually tell what happened.
I want DVD commentary is what I want.
Okay.
I want you to tell me beginning to end the ebb and flow of this movie, all the twists, all the ups, all the downs, the conflict, the characters. And then we're going to compare it to a synopsis found on some random website.
What?
Synopsis.
Synopsis.
Synapsis. I believe is the correct terminology.
That's right. Synopsis on a random website, and we'll see.
Well, no, it's IMDb.
Okay.
It's one of those user sort of written plot synopsis. Fuck you, Nico.
Yeah.
Synopsis.
We're firing on all synopsis tonight. Let's go around. Nick,
all seven of them.
Take a break from your Photoshop for a second.
So what happens?
Yeah.
The question.
What happened in Graffiti Bridge?
What happened was...
Okay, so Prince, played, Kid the Jesus.
Close enough.
And...
I'll give it to the... I'll give that to you.
His Holiness.
Yes. His Royal Badness, as he said.
Yes.
He owned a club where he played music.
Right.
Yes.
And there was a bad guy who wanted his music club.
Yes.
To make money.
What was his name, Nick?
It started with an M. Was that an
That's
award?
More than usual.
Was that an award?
More than he normally gets.
It was Matt
Damon.
Yes.
Matt Damon. I can't remember his name at the moment.
No, Morris Day.
Morris Day.
Not to be confused with Doris Day.
Morris Day. Right, Morris. I remember the girl's name.
Right.
Morris.
You know,
Morris.
Oh, of course.
Well, I looked it up online.
Oh, no, it is Morris Day.
It said Morris Day
plays
playing Morris.
Right. I'm looking at it right now. It's Morris Day is playing Morris Day.
Oh, on Google it said Morris Day plays Morris.
Most of the characters are named after themselves, and I know for a fact Purple Rain was the same way.
Yeah.
Jerome Benton plays Jerome.
Right. That's
let's see.
Kids band. The Time as Jelly Bean. What?
When did that happen?
Gary Johnson played The Time (parentheses) as Jelly Bean.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Anybody want to try to touch that one?
So there was. I'm gonna try to continue.
I'll let Prince touch that.
There was Aura.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which was a half black, half white. I think
important to note.
She was a light skin.
Okay.
Nico, I think it is important to note.
You got me.
I think it is important to note.
Sure. I was going to use...
Because originally...
I have a question.
Who were they going to cast originally?
Wait a minute.
Madonna.
I think that's why it's important to note.
Okay. I'm not going to bring up whether or not the word mulatto is okay to say.
I didn't want to be confused with Melody.
Important to note.
Milano cookies.
Bring up the fun fact you read about Madonna.
Yeah,
on
I read. So as I do when we watch these movies, I tend to look up the trivia page, and the only one I read worth noting before I'm like, nah, fuck this, was the very first one, and it said Prince approached Madonna to do this movie or whatever, and Madonna to play
Aurora Borealis.
Yeah, and and she goes, she turned it down because, quote, the script is shit. And I thought that was the greatest.
When Madonna is criticizing your screenwriting ability, you know there's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good move on Madonna's part.
Yeah.
A lot of foresight there. Would have been really easy, you know.
Well, hold on. No, hold on. She didn't call this. She didn't say the script was shit. She said, it says, she turned it down, calling the screenplay, quote, a piece of shit.
Ah, important.
I was close.
Close enough.
You said quote, and it wasn't a quote. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, your journalistic integrity is in question.
So she played an angel.
Right? Ah, interesting. Okay.
Okay.
Isn't that what happened?
Keep going.
Am I confused?
Just keep going.
She played an angel, and she tried to sleep with Morris for God. And
okay.
Then
what else happened?
She was drugged and brought back to Morris's place, and he said, I'm gonna let her sleep. And so in the middle of the night, Prince breaks in, kidnaps her, and molests her while she's still drugged.
Too much rape.
And he's the good guy. And then she says she says, Prince, I can't love you, I'm an angel. And he says, look at my sheet music. And it had the word Jesus, and then they fucked.
In an alleyway.
It's a very loose interpretation, but yes. Okay.
And then she died for Jesus.
Right.
By getting hit.
A.K.A.
by,
Prince.
By getting hit by a red Jeep.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And she was unscathed, by the way. But she was dead.
Well, besides the dead part, yeah.
Besides that, is no longer living.
No blood.
Besides the lack of a pulse. She walked away from that pretty all right.
I'm just saying, any medical doctor who looked at the body afterwards and didn't
Hold
know
on, what
how
about
she...
about a non-medical doctor? What if they looked at the body?
What if Dr. Oz looked at the body?
Well, he doesn't even have associates.
Is that true?
No, probably not. But no. He's he doesn't have a doctorate.
Yeah. He's got a degree in Oprahology.
Oprahology. Yes. I like that.
Well, no, I feel like he has a degree. Like Dr. Phil has a degree, but in something that like nobody studies anymore and is no longer relevant.
Philosophy.
Well, no, he has something in like some type of social work or something.
Totally
but
a music
they, like,
theory major.
But they don't like study that anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Dr. Phil is on TV telling people why they're drunks.
That's right.
That's fair. And then so she dies and he saves the day.
Cool. All okay. Right.
That's and then oh yeah, and there's a bridge.
Yeah.
Called Graffiti Bridge
the,
and it's
the titular graffiti bridge.
The titular bridge.
All I know is they go there twice and there's graffiti on the bridge.
Well, they go there more. They actually went like 4 or 5 times.
Okay, but it's really steep and hard to walk up, and it doesn't seem like it's a very good bridge.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
I have a theory about the bridge that I'll explain.
Well, I also just want to say, I paid very good attention to this movie for the first half.
You did.
And I couldn't follow, and that was when I stopped paying very good attention to this movie.
Well, because, yeah, for the first hour and 10 minutes, there was like 2 minutes of plot.
I don't understand what happened.
Yeah.
That was not just me trying to be funny. That was legitimately my interpretation of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easier to follow in the first half for sure. And the second half sort of goes off the rails a little
bit. It's a little out of control.
Not to say that the first half was particularly genius or anything, but all right, Zach, give me your synopsis.
Okay. So we open.
Oh, boy.
No. Prince.
The kid.
Nope, Prince. Prince owns a club.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
Yeah, it's perfect.
He owns a club, but it's not doing well.
Mm.
And Morris Day wants the club for some reason, even though it's not doing well. Explain that business idea.
Bad business sense.
Yeah. And then Moiste meets a girl.
Her name is Aura.
Her name's Aura.
She was a showgirl.
Was she?
In a way. She definitely strips in this movie, doesn't she?
Well, yeah, but I mean, so does everybody.
Good point.
The prince is banned.
Yeah.
Let's just call them banned.
Yes. The kids
banned. Enter banned.
Yeah.
They say, hey, we found your future wife.
Yeah.
Prince is like, hell yeah. And then they go to Morris's club.
Let's get that.
And then she gets drunk.
You know, outdated gender politics for sure. I mean, yeah. I understand, like, I don't think the movie is coming out in favor of rape. But I will say that the idea of...
It wasn't condoning rape.
Well, the idea of a dude's buddies saying, yo, we got your bitch for you. And, like, go get her, chief. And he just sort of swoops in and takes her home and beds her without her consent. Sort of, I don't know, an outdated version of how dating works. Yeah. But maybe in Prince's world, it was always that way. I gotta feel like even at age, like, 56, 57, up until his deathbed, I think...
That's what he was thinking.
He was courting broads the same way, I'm sure.
Broads.
Yes.
Nico's really trying really hard to bring that back.
I love that word.
You're not gonna bring broads back.
Fine, can we call them dames?
No.
What did Prince call them? Dolls?
He didn't have to call them. They just came.
He just said, hey. And they were like,
Yeah, that's about right. Keep going.
So she gets drunk. Moise's girlfriend, I guess, got mad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He had a girlfriend that whole time.
Or something. I don't know. What else? Moise brought her home. Prince then kidnapped her. By blowing out one candle that apparently lit up the entire house.
Yes. right out of Clue of the movie.
Yeah. Right out of Clue.
Who did that?
Took her home, was going to molest her, and then decided, better not.
Good decision.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No.
Better not.
Like, yeah, she woke up, fell in love. She pretty much said, I belong to God. Right. Then they did it in an alleyway. And then Morris was like, yo, song battle for the clubs.
Right.
Prince is like, yeah, she dies. He wins with a ballad. And then they're friends. End of movie. Roll credits.
Yeah. All right. All right. I'm going to take a stab at it. You ready? Let's try this. Yeah. So apparently in the last movie, there was some dispute about who owns clubs and shit. And Morris and the kid seemed to be rivals for quite some time. And they had a father, or one of them had a father, and maybe they're brothers. Who knows? But they're fighting over...
We won't know until Sunday.
They're fighting over these clubs. No, I'm sure it's very clear in Purple Rain, the relationship. And I think it's assumed that...
That we would get it?
Yes.
That people have seen Purple Rain, yeah.
Yes. But
remember Purple Rain.
As Morris Day said in a quote... this was not supposed to be a Purple Rain sequel. It just sort of became that.
The actual Morris Day, not the character Morris Day.
Yeah,
I know. It's very difficult to follow. We'll guide you through it.
Said that in real life. So they're fighting over the clubs, and Prince, the kid, keeps performing at his club, and no one really shows
just
up.
Just call him Prince, damn it.
Yes. And Morris is really killing at his club, and all of a sudden this character of Aura sort of pops up out of nowhere, and I think she's an angel, and I think the place that she hails from, aka Graffiti Bridge, is supposed to be some sort of purgatory or some sort of heavenly place.
Well, see, okay, here's what I wanted to say about that. I think it's supposed to be the Garden of Eden.
Yes, that was the next words out of my mouth. Yeah.
Because do you remember that scene where Prince and her were trying to eat the apple?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, no, it's Garden of Eden. That's exactly
right. It's gotta be the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, so I think she's a guardian angel that comes down there, and Morris is trying to woo her over for some reason. Not some reason. He wants to fuck her.
Pussy.
Yeah.
That's... Well, I mean, do you blame him?
No.
She's pretty.
She's quite attractive. She's no Madonna, but, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Madonna in 1990.
Yes.
Guys, quick question.
What?
Yes.
Would you fuck an angel?
Actual
angel. God's angel. Or a man named Angel.
Not Hell's Angels.
Or a Spanish man named Angel. It's your choice.
What about a Spanish man named Angel?
I wouldn't. But.
Man, in the arms of an angel is a whole new meaning there.
No, you didn't answer the question.
I would I would fuck the angel from It's a Wonderful Life.
That's fair.
Okay?
I'll give you that.
All right, cool. And, man, all right, what's the best pop culture angel?
Best pop culture angel?
Best angel. Who's your favorite angel?
That's tough.
Of all time. I stumped you.
The ones in the outfield.
Not bad. Not bad.
I think any depiction of Lucifer, he was technically an angel. Does that count? Does that count?
You cop out.
Have you watched that stupid show, Lucifer, on Fox, where they turned the devil into a cop?
No.
That's a good idea.
It's called Lucifer, and it's based on, like, this really gritty, like, comic book series. But they said...
Oh, yeah, there was a comic series about that.
All right, we're going to turn it into a show. How are we going to do it? Pair him with a detective, and it becomes this quirky buddy cop show. It sucks.
Well, what about... Jane Lynch is in a new one where she plays a guardian angel.
Yeah, Angel from Hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite angel. Just because it's Jane Lynch.
Okay, I'm with you. Yeah. So Aura is like this angel, and like she's gonna get raped by Morris, but Prince saves her and then almost fucks her in her sleep. And then Prince sort of
and thinks, better not.
Prince writes on this heart piece of paper, mine, essentially like taking ownership of Aura.
By the way, doesn't know how to play Hangman.
No,
don't. That's established.
Yeah, don't know how to play Hangman. Another thing about the gender politics of this, like, we should explain this scene. So, yes, when Prince rescues Aura and brings her back to his apartment, he sort of just sits over her in her sleep and is, like, touching her boob almost. And we're just thinking to ourselves, Prince is supposed to be the good guy in this scene?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure in his head he still was.
I don't know. He rescues her and all of a sudden...
Yeah, mind you, Prince did write this, so...
True. Getting very handsy there. But that happens when she wakes up. He plays Hangman with her. She guesses A, B, C, D. Ends up spelling out the word mine.
Terrible at Hangman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't just guess those four right off the bat.
What do you go first? S? T? R?
No, I go E because it's the most commonly used
letter. I go L.
In English language.
You go L?
I go L.
I go the Batman sign is what I do.
Well, the way I look at it.
I go Q.
See, here's my strategy.
Q.
Here's my strategy. That's not a good strategy. I have a good strategy. See... Every word either has an L or it doesn't. So, I guess L.
And Nick, there's two kinds of words in this
Nick,
world.
Nick, that's the philosophy of Tumblr that brought us everything in the universe either is or is not a potato. Do you really want to...
I never thought of that.
It's not a bad point.
That's a good point. Why don't more people listen to me?
Because you say shit like every word either does or does not have an L.
Yeah, so that happened.
Am I wrong? Is it wrong?
Jesus. The answer to Hangman is mine, essentially saying, hey, you're mine now, Aura. And she's like, no, Prince, I gotta go. And then all of a sudden, it's obvious to me, she's clearly an angel that was sent from heaven. And there's a lot of religious themes that we'll get to in just a second as we talk about Prince the person. I want to get there. But then all of a sudden, all right, the climax is coming. This conflict is about to reach ahead.
Climax.
Coming. Brought that on yourself.
They're about to face each other. All of a sudden, Morris and the kid decide.
Just say Prince.
Music battle. Let's get to it. Winner gets all the clubs. And it looks like Morris wins at first. And Morris's posse is going to take over all the clubs that Prince somewhat owns, I guess. One of which is called Melody Cool. Owned by a woman named Melody Cool. And at, like, the last 20...
Original.
Yeah, the last 20 minutes to a half hour of this movie are essentially weird non sequiturs. One including a very flashy strobe light sex scene between Morris and his girlfriend, in which he concludes it saying, we'll be right back after this commercial break.
And boom.
Going into a musical number with a character we have never met called Melody Cool.
Well, no, I mean, no, we saw her. Before.
Okay, but we don't really know what her involvement is. Yes. She just starts singing, you ain't taking my club over. And they're trying to get the signatures on the paper to turn the club over. And in the process, Aura gets hit by a truck and she dies. Jeep beep. And then Prince is about to kill himself. But she tells him, don't give up, Prince. Kid, don't give up, kid. And he's like, all right. I won't give up. I'll sing a power ballad. And then he sings a power ballad at the end, and Morris is like, damn, you won this battle. Here's let's shake hands. You get your club back at the end.
About it, yeah.
Yeah, read the synopsis.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I am pumped.
Graffiti Bridge is the unofficial sequel to Purple Rain. In this movie, the kid and Moist Day are still competitors and each run a club of their own. They make a bet about who writes the best song and the kid's club is on the line.
Wait. Remember that part?
Nope.
Nick, you remember that part?
What?
Exactly.
It didn't happen.
Kids club's on the line. But the kid has become a brooding character who writes letters to his dead father and pondered spirituality.
Yeah, he's really bleak in this
he's
one.
He's very bleak. Yeah.
He's a little bleak.
Yeah. I just find it weird that he writes the letters to his dead father on heart-shaped paper.
Do you not love your father?
Yo.
I don't. I wouldn't buy a heart-shaped paper for him.
Would you give your father a Valentine?
Hell no.
All right.
Spirituality. Under the graffiti bridge in the park, he meets Aura, an angel-like poet.
She's an angel.
With whom he falls in love. Once again, Morris tries to steal his girl, and in the end, she dies in a tragic accident. But not in vain.
Once again? Wait a minute. this happened before.
She's like that character from Hardcore Henry that just keeps...
that just keeps coming back. Morris tries to steal his girl, but not in vain. She has given the kid his edge back.
Yeah.
And Morris gives in and lets him keep the club after hearing the moving ballad the kid composed.
Interesting. You know what? That actually, in a way, I think is fairly representative of Prince's career in the early 90s. And I want to pivot here for a second. We'll talk about specific scenes. But I want to talk about...
You think this was like a prophecy for his career?
I want to talk about, yeah, Prince's real-life persona in relation to this movie. And it's interesting to me that the synopsis says that that she gives him his edge back. Because those first couple songs in this movie, Purple Rain, they are not. They're very sort of bad, I think is the word.
Bad. Are you telling me he's aware that it wasn't good music?
That he lost his way. I personally believe that early 90s Prince is the weakest part of his career. I agree that he sort of lost his edge. The songs became very sort of generic pop. And he was no longer on the edge of music. People were just copying him. And therefore, it became sort of the same thing over and over and over again. And it wasn't until he sort of found his way in real, like, rock music towards the late 90s and 2000s that he came back. But that's interesting that he was very not edgy, because I thought that a lot of those songs towards the beginning were very sort of show-toony, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What say you, Nicholas? How's the Photoshop
What
going?
Say you?
I don't know. The big issue I have watching this is that I haven't seen Purple Rain, and I was not very familiar with Prince to begin with. All I knew was that he's this mysterious figure who only shows up when he decides to show up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know about
that's
Prince.
That's all you need to know about Prince.
Yeah, but... One thing I could tell for sure is that this is genuinely...
That and that he was a pussy magnet.
Well...
Hey, it's his royal badness, all right?
Well, the other thing that's very clear is that this movie is his brain.
Yes.
I think that's clear.
You called it steampunk at the beginning.
It felt steampunk.
Yes. I don't even know if it's quite steampunk, though. Like, I feel like Mad Max is steampunk. At times can't be steampunk. Print, this is just like this whole just weird universe where purple is the most popular color. And
this universe is like post-apocalyptic meets 80s dance club.
I think this is the world that Prince wants the music industry to be. I think this is what Prince wants it to be. It's not necessarily is. You know, he wants it just to be this lively sort of environment where clubs are battling each other and the music is alive and people just live it regardless of who's paying attention. You know what I mean? Like, there was even a scene in the movie that I thought was pretty interesting where the club was had like 5-10 people in it dancing to the kid's performance, and one of his bandmates says to Aura, or Aura says to the bandmate, "Oh, it's kind of dead in here," and the bandmate goes, "Yeah, that don't mean nothing to the kid, you know? The kid don't care. The kid's performing no matter what. He just loves the music." And this is, I think, if you're looking at it in the most positive light possible, this is a movie about Prince rediscovering his love of music. What do you think?
You like him too much. I can tell. You're all about this, man.
Yeah, Prince is the greatest musician of my lifetime. I will never see a musician as great as Prince again. Ever, 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 ever. We will never be graced with someone as good as that. Both from a performance perspective, in terms of public persona, in terms of musicianship. Genius. An absolute genius. And that's why I bawled my eyes out the other day.
He's fucking hot.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Our segues are on point.
Hit me with your take on the sexuality of Prince.
I wanted to fuck Prince.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah?
When I saw those abs and those high heels, just something about that high heels abs combo. Just
no, Prince was hot.
He's hot, man.
Even at 57.
He looks. I mentioned. Yeah, I was looking at one of the album covers. You told me to look through some of them. So
yeah.
And he looked like a black version of one of my friends.
Yeah. Oh, here's the question. Is Prince just naturally attractive?
Yes.
Or is Prince's sexuality what makes him attractive? Which is it? Because I don't think he's personally... I think it's the whole persona of Prince. The fact that he was able to...
All I can tell you is that a man who can wear high heels and have that kind of mustache and still work it, that's...
Well, I think he does. He was just sort of naturally a good-looking dude, but I think the sexuality, like, sort of doubled up on the whole. Like, he's hot.
Well, made the mistake that many others before him have made and assumed that Prince was gay.
I didn't assume he was gay. I asked, "How is he not gay?"
Oh no, I thought. I mean, I thought for the longest time Prince was gay.
Sure,
and then I like looked up online like about Prince years ago and I'm like, oh wow, he's not gay.
Yeah,
I think he's proven.
People didn't know what to make of him in the 80s. People like didn't, he was, as Zach said before, this amorphous sort of,
he created modern gay culture.
Yeah, you said that he created the idea of transgender.
I don't think that's like politically correct at all, but yeah,
whatever. No, but no,
like I don't understand the transgender. I it's not that I
psyche
don't agree with it. I just don't understand it. I physically can't fathom it.
Yeah.
I think he might have like created this.
Yeah.
You know,
or certainly
one of the first ones to publicize it in that sort of way.
Yeah.
Especially in like a real positive light. Like, I mean.
My dad had an interesting theory about this. We were talking the other day. We did a podcast, and afterwards we talked about Prince for like two more hours. And he was telling me that the fact that he was black made it harder for him to like be viewed as a sexual being. So like if you look at the black musicians, if you go back to James Brown, someone like James Brown who was very masculine and raw and bold and just – unapologetically black was, which he was,
yeah,
was not taken to very kindly. It was very hard to embrace someone like that. Whereas people like,
yeah, they were a victim of the time.
Right. Whereas black musicians like Michael Jackson and Prince embraced their femininity, embraced the high-pitched voice, that look. It was very glamorous and it was less threatening. And so that sexuality was more easily accepted for someone like that. You know what I mean? It made it a lot easier to sort of insert these sexual messages. If it was just like this raw black guy, like, I'm gonna steal your girl, in the way that like modern rap music is now, like that would have been not very acceptable in the 80s. But for some reason, it worked because people mistook him for something else. People didn't really view him as a sexual being at first. They're like, oh, he's a cool pop star. Then you listen to his songs and you're like, holy fucking shit. This guy is pushing the boundaries. This guy is blowing my mind right now with these lyrics, you know? Am I coming too much over Prince right now? Am I masturbating too much?
Are you going to talk about masturbating again? Third week in a row.
Three weeks too long. It's 4 weeks too long.
Am I drooling too much? No, I love Prince. I do. And I think he's brilliant and a genius. And I'm always fascinated with what he's doing. Like, he barely even talks in this movie. He doesn't say any words.
Yeah, there were several times where I'm like, Prince, just fucking talk.
I don't think he ever talked with Aura.
No, he did.
I think he just looked at her.
No, he did. He talked.
Did he?
Yeah. In the alleyway before they did it.
All right.
He was talking about his weird writings in purple paint on the outside of his club.
What was up with that?
And then they did on his bike. Not the Purple Rain bike, by the way.
Yes.
Still mad.
What was up with the paint on the thing? I have no fucking
clue. What was the point of this movie? I guess that's really where I'm coming. What was he trying to do?
He thought the world needed more Prince.
It does. He's not wrong. I don't think. But what was the goal? Was there a goal?
No.
There has to be.
There of course was. No, of course there was a goal. It's a goal that I think he's just on a different level. And that's not to, like, say that he's more intelligent than us. It's he saw the world through a different lens. The way he saw the world in a different way. So it's like what he thinks the point of the movie is, you will never. If you sat down with Prince in a room and you said, explain to me the point of Graffiti Bridge, you wouldn't understand a word out of his mouth. You just wouldn't get it. Because it's talking about religion and it's talking about love and it's talking it's also commentary on music. It's all over the place. Segue really quickly into the religious stuff, because that's, I think, one point of this. I want to talk about Prince's obsession with God in this movie. What struck you about that?
That Prince was obsessed with God in this movie.
it goes against, I mean, I don't want to say it goes against, like, who he is, but it goes against definitely how people perceive him, I think. Like, I mean, I don't know as much about Prince as you do, but based on what I've been told, he's this sex figure, and...
Yeah.
It seemed like he was trying to juxtapose sex with God.
What a tall task. Has any literary scholar ever attempted that?
I don't think so, Nico. I think Prince was the first one.
I can't name another author off the top of my head that has juxtaposed God with sex. Two of the biggest ideas in all of humanity.
It's just that's what it felt like. Yeah.
I just felt like
he's trying to fuck an angel.
I feel like Prince had two different ideas of where Graffiti Bridge could have gone, and he just decided to do both of them at once.
And I took both roads traveled.
I took the Prince road. Some people go left, some people go right.
He just went right down the middle.
I built myself a new road.
That's right.
Yeah.
I drove my car vertically. Reach for the stars. You don't have to be rich to be my guy. Sorry.
But no, I just think, yeah, I think he had ideas, didn't really know how to put them down, and it just came out as Graffiti Bridge.
See, I almost think he wrote songs and then said, oh, you know, let's try to combine them all into a story. And they
you
didn't.
Think?
I think he wrote the songs first.
Hmm.
And they weren't good enough. So he said, okay, let's try and make a movie to make them better. And it didn't work.
But he did that before, though. It worked last time.
Yeah, and that's why he tried it again. Because the album wasn't working.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
And he said, okay, what's the best way to tie all this together? What are the two things that can tie anything together? Sex and God.
Huh. Okay.
That is my theory.
Could be. Here's my take. Prince is always about sex.
Always.
Prince
always.
Was never not about sex. Look, I told...
You think Prince, you think sex.
Yes. I told Nick to scroll through the album covers for a reason. I wanted him to just get a sense of how every part of his persona was sexual back then.
It was.
And it evolved over the years, but back in the 80s, it was shirtless in thongs with naked chicks laying on top of him.
Is that not gay? I mean... isn't that... I'm just... Isn't that the definition? Like,
if that's gay, I don't want to be straight.
That's fair. I mean,
no, I want to be Prince. If
well, okay, hold on. Do you not want to be straight, or do you just want to be Prince?
I want to be Prince.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I don't even think like gay or straight defines who Prince is. I feel like Prince is more than that. I feel like to put baby in a corner there, put him in a box. I don't know if that's
Well, no, I feel like if you were to ask Prince about his sexual orientation, he would say, I love who I love, and it just happens to be women.
That's about right. That's about right.
I just feel like that's who Prince was.
Yes, or that God made me attracted to angels and Carmen Electra. So, yes, he's always been about sex, but I think around that period of time, I would have to really dig into the Prince biography in order to understand this part. But he was sort of getting into the whole Jehovah's Witness thing. And he was a Jehovah's Witness for, I believe, the majority of his life, certainly into his later years. And I don't know where he was at that point, but he really started getting into the whole God thing. So he's like, all right, let me take my act right now, which is complete, total raw sexuality, and let's sprinkle a little God in there for good measure. Let's put a guardian angel coming down.
Sprinkle a little God
let's,
in there.
Let's write some songs about
not,
Jesus.
Not a big God. Like a little God.
Yes. And while we're at it, while we're paying tribute to the Holy Ghost, let's dress me in all white and beat the audience over the head with Christ imagery.
Yes.
Not the first time in my life.
Yes, very true.
Especially the last, like, 15 minutes.
He looks like Jesus during the last 15 minutes of this movie. It's crazy.
Like, he spends a lot of time... Oh, I just noticed. He spent most of the movie in, all black. And then at the end, he just started wearing that white, puffy pirate shirt.
Is it before or after she dies?
No, it was... before.
Or she does afterwards.
Yeah, she died afterwards, but it was right at the time when Aura and the kid were, I guess, sort of realizing that they did love each other type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a weird relationship.
Sure.
And then... when she died, the kid decided to just hold his arms out to the side for the remainder of the movie.
Yeah, why would you ever do that?
So
he was having shoulder pain.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Doctor's orders. Just flex those out a little bit, kid. Yeah, I want to talk about real quick. I want to hit on a few things before we wrap this up. Let's talk about the over-the-top, borderline cartoonish evilness of Morris. Because if you didn't understand that Morris was the antagonist of this movie within 2 minutes, you're clearly not paying attention. Let me name for you the things that Morris does on the screen. When he is first introduced at the evil boardroom meeting, that, Illuminati,
Yeah, we did skip over this.
Yeah, we did.
Boardroom at the beginning, they pass around a jar of scorching hot chili peppers. And Morris eats one without any problem, doesn't struggle whatsoever, then passes it around the table, and one of his henchmen, or whatever, eats it.
No, henchmen's a good word.
Yes. And
goons.
Yeah. And
better
and,
word.
And nearly explodes. So we have established
he was literally steaming.
Yes. Yeah, he
there was.
There
was literally steam coming off of his body.
So not only is Morris a shady record producer that is the musical rival to the kid, he's also superhuman when it comes to hot food. Beat me over the head.
Louisiana.
When Morris first walks in...
What?
I'm gonna let that sink in. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
It's not that funny, trust me.
When Morris walks into the kids' nightclub and sort of outstages them and takes over the microphone and jams out and totally upstages Prince, he then leaves the club, says, "This plant needs some water," and pisses in one of the kids' plants.
But how does he go about pissing in the plant?
You're skipping over.
You're skipping an important plot point, Nico.
What am I missing?
He sings the alphabet song.
Oh, right.
And then stops at P.
It stops at the letter P.
Oh!
Then he pees.
Did you just get that?
That's why he was singing the alphabet song.
Oh my God, you're an idiot.
I thought he was just singing it for some reason.
No, then he stopped on the letter P.
He stopped
P.
at P. Pissed in the plant. And then what did he do, Nico?
Then he lit the plant on fire.
With his gasoline. urine.
Apparently urine is flammable.
Just his.
Just but his urine.
It's the hot peppers.
It's all the chili peppers.
This was after, by the way, Morris sent his henchmen to go light the club on fire and burn it down, and they somehow failed at this goal. I'm not sure how they failed.
I was waiting for that expansion on details. Sure. It never came.
Sure. Not a lot of security at the Kid Nightclub, whatever that place is called.
Glam Slam.
Glam Slam.
What a name.
Of course.
What a name. Did he ever have an album called Glam Slam? Because he should have.
Really should have.
No, but I think I read something that said that it was based off of songs.
Instead of Graffiti Bridge. Like all of the club names.
Graffiti Bridge is really a horrible name, isn't it?
Yeah, Glam Slam would have been much better.
I agree. So he rolls up at the club like, whoa, I got a big cock. And
really,
is that the lyric?
I think so. I think you're on the right track.
No, spot on, Nico.
Okay.
Glam Slam was a song by Prince.
Nice.
When he okay,
look at that.
Nice. I mean, he had like 5,000 songs. Yeah, that's about right. So he rolls up, says, "Hey, I thought this club was supposed to be burned down. What happened?" And they say, "Oh, I mean, you know, I don't know what happened." I forget exactly. And he goes, man, if you want something done right, hire good people. Hire good people to do it. A great quote in the movie.
That is a pretty good quote.
Fantastic quote. Says, all right, I'm going to go in there now, see what's going on there, try to give the kid a piece of my mind. And rather than walking over a puddle of mud right in front of the club entrance, he forces his girlfriend to take her coat off.
Was that his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's why, like, a scene later, she was saying, hey, you owe me a new coat.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Well, technically, yeah. He forces his goon to force his girlfriend's coat off of her, lay it on the ground, and then he doesn't just walk over it. He fucking steps on it.
Yes.
Like,
now, see, here's my issue with it. If you watch the clip again, he's already standing in a puddle.
This is the worst puddle, Zach.
I guess.
This puddle is worse.
Was that a purple rain puddle?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's standing in His Majesty's glory. That's
So
creepy when he's
another really, really evil thing that he does. Really, we get the point that Morris is evil. Making it that much more sort of just a gut punch to the audience when during the last scene of the movie, Morris just shakes the kid's hand and they're all good after a while. You know?
Yeah.
It's just one power ballad and all of a sudden this evil man becomes good. I didn't really buy that part.
It's just not good. This movie, I'm gonna tell you something. it's striking me. It's very similar to The Room.
Oh boy.
I feel like one person.
Are you comparing Tommy Wiseau to Prince right now? Oh no.
You're a creative genius.
Say it ain't so. I'm kind of digging it, though. Keep going.
Sorry. I feel like...
I was thinking Weezer, but okay.
Yeah. I feel like there was no plot. There was no connection to anything. It just felt... I feel the same way that I felt watching The Room. Lost. Not sure what's happening.
Well, no, I mean,
nothing resolved.
There were several times when all three of us were like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and that's a problem.
And then the other people who were watching couldn't explain what was going on.
Yeah. there was no one saying no to Prince in The Room.
No
one was giving him suggestions. No one was second guessing him. He was like Donald Trump's campaign in headquarters. Everybody was just nodding and saying yes. Yeah, whatever you want, Prince. Sure, you're his royal badness. You do whatever you want.
Yes,
you know?
Sir.
You wrote Little Red Corvette. You decide whatever you want to do there. And he sort of ran a little too wild, and you know.
Thus, Graffiti Bridge was made.
Sure, we got this piece of shit. What was up with the dude under the table?
I don't know.
Oh, he was trying to touch her wiggly bits.
touch her what?
You heard me.
I want you to say it again, please.
Wiggly bits.
It's my favorite grocery store chain, actually.
Wiggly bits?
Yeah, wiggly bits.
They're having a sale.
It's my favorite.
They're having a sale on chicken breasts.
That's inappropriate.
What? What, that wiggly bits is having a sale on chicken breasts?
Yes.
God.
How dare you. How about Hooters? How about melons? Sale on melons?
Peter, I'm holding melons.
What was up with that dude?
I don't know. He was creepy. I didn't like him, but I wanted more of him.
One of Morris's henchmen was hiding under...
I think that was Jerome. Was that Jerome?
Sure.
I think it was Jerome.
Why not? He was hiding under the table as Aura and Morris were having dinner. Ed was, like, looking at her cooch quite a bit. And also, like, taking wine out of Morris's glass and pouring it into her glass her, I guess.
Yeah, she got drugged. I mean, that much is clear. So,
okay. I think she just got hammered.
I don't agree.
I do not agree either. She did a whole musical number 5 minutes before passing out.
Well, she shouldn't have dressed that way. She didn't want to.
It's a good point. Never has, like...
Here comes the angry letters, Nick.
I am used to angry letters.
We haven't gotten them yet. Like, they're not coming.
Not enough people care about what we do.
True.
Never has roofying been so whimsical. I will just say that. They had a good dynamic, those two. Contain yourself,
Zach. I don't think that's okay to say. I think that's...
Swallow.
I think that's actually horrible.
Spitters or quitters, Zach. Swallow that.
She's not a quitter. She drank that.
Never has been roofing been so whimsical.
No, it's been very.
It was not a t-shirt. Nick, get on that.
All
right. It's actually a lyric in some of Prince's early 2000s work. Never has roofing been so whimsical. I just want your extra time and your kiss.
That almost sounded believable, kind of.
Direct lyric from there. Dogs travel in packs of seven. What's that quote all about?
Oh, my God. I forgot about that quote, actually.
He's a cheater. That's what it's about.
But it was just so specific. Like, what?
Dogs travel in packs of seven. You better watch out for this.
Prince wrote that line. Put pen to paper for
that. He wrote every line. He wrote this movie.
Let me see. Anything else I wanted to talk about here?
God, I hope not.
Yeah. You know what your problem is, kid? You have too many problems.
That's your problem.
That's another line. Pretty much defines the career of Prince right there.
You know, but we still don't know what any of those problems were. It's too many of them, but which...
I mean, he's suicidal.
Some would say 99.
But an angel ain't one.
Well, it was when she died. It was...
Oh.
No.
You
know, guys, an angel died this week.
Purple rain. Purple rain.
She wore a
raspberry beret.
This might be my best Photoshop yet, by the way.
Oh, boy.
I am done. I finally decided.
Anything else you want to say about Prince and or this movie before we wrap? Go ahead, bro.
I just want to ask one question.
Yes.
Where is this town located, and why do they only have one road?
Yeah. There's one recurring alley. It's like, if you want to get anywhere, you gotta go through this alley.
Now, mind you, I don't understand why they have to go through this alley.
Because it's dark and mysterious.
Because it seemed like all the clubs were in the same intersection.
Fair point.
So where are they driving? Maybe to Graffiti Bridge?
Where is Graffiti Bridge?
I don't know.
It's in his mind.
It doesn't actually
exist. Prince's mind palace.
Mind, ooh, good one.
It's a mind palace.
Is it possible that Aura and the Graffiti Bridge were a figment of Prince's imagination?
But then how could Morris go there?
Because Morris is, ooh, here's your theory. What if all the stuff between Aura and Morris was also happening in Prince's brain? It's like a scene in Taxi Driver in which Travis Bickle...
Ooh.
Get that? All right. So here's the thing. There's Taxi Driver...
Good movie.
Robert De Niro is in every scene of that movie, except for one scene.
Yeah.
And it's when the prostitute, 13-year-old prostitute, played by Jodie Foster, and her pimp named Harvey Keitel are in a hotel room with each other, seductively dancing. And he's like a full-grown adult, and she's a little prepubescent girl. And it's really creepy... And Travis isn't in that scene, and it's very dreamlike and shit. So a lot of people think, wait a minute, this is going on in Travis's head. This is not actually happening. You know what I mean? And he's just reading in between the lines there. He's imagining this happening between these two. What if something similar is going on between Morris and Aura? What if this is all a dream to him?
But he didn't know Aura at that point. Oh, no, he did.
Aura's not real, bro. Or is fake.
But she died.
Yeah, she's not real. She's just not real. So angels, that's why there was no blood.
Angels aren't real.
Oh, I didn't say that.
That's what you just said.
No, you're saying that now.
So God's not real. So Prince isn't real?
Are you saying Prince is God?
I think that's what Nico's saying.
I'm going to commit suicide right now. I'm going to go out to Graffiti Bridge.
Don't give up.
Bring my handgun. I won't get. That is not something. If you get like a call on the suicide hotline, that's not the words you want to say to that person. Don't give up.
I never thought of it that way.
No, that 90% of the time, that's why they're doing it. It's because they're giving up.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw them the towel.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm about to drop off a bridge. Talk me out of it. Never give up.
Don't give up. Oh, thank you for saving my life.
You know, I was gonna give up. Jumping off this bridge.
You talked me
But
out.
Now you've convinced me to go through with it.
The Karate Kid music plays in the background. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever bring you down.
Except for gravity, and they jump off.
Oh.
So, okay, is there any confirmation as to how Prince actually died?
No.
So we still don't know.
No, it's just speculation.
You told me it was the flu.
Yeah. The week before his death, there was an emergency landing on his air carrier. That's what I call it. I don't call it a plane.
His
aircraft.
Air carries air.
His aircraft.
With wings.
Yes.
Yes, it flaps.
The prince.
He made a real-life Da Vinci flying machine.
If anyone would.
It's the Prince Phoenix. It just sort of ascends out of his compound in Minnesota and goes all over the world.
The Prince Phoenix or the Phoenix.
There was there was an emergency landing, and he told the press or whatever that, I had the flu, but I'm all right now. Everything is good. 6 days later, he dies. People assume it's because of the flu. Turns out that the emergency landing was for drug treatment and not for the flu.
Oh.
So there you go. And autopsy reports are going to be in 4 weeks, and who knows what it was. I didn't have the impression, though, that Prince was a big drug user.
But I don't think anyone did.
I don't know. A lot of people that I talked to said, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but...
Well, no, I mean, it makes sense.
He's certainly out there. He certainly had his fair amount of acid.
He's out there. He was one of the biggest musical artists in history, and they tend to fall into drugs.
See, Nico, I completely... The first thing I think of is drugs. I see Prince, and I go, drugs.
Yeah,
But I think nobody really knew because he kept his personal life so private.
That's the thing about it. He had the most private personal life of any superstar.
Like, he went out, toured, and then nobody ever knew what he did afterwards.
Didn't date many celebrities. Carmen Electra was, like, the most famous celebrity that he dated.
Well, Kim Basinger.
Oh, that is true. Kim Basinger? Yeah, that's a good point.
But everyone else, it's...
Yeah. And in a way, I don't want to make the comparison between Bill Murray and Prince, but I will.
Wow.
Both of them sort of had these urban legends pop up around them. We've talked about that with Bill Murray in the past.
Yeah.
There's a ton of Prince stories. One of them was the fact that he went through YouTube and, like, flagged all of his copywritten material. Like, that's not true. Now it seems that it's true because he's dead and YouTube is full of Prince stuff. But there's a bunch of stories like that. There's one story that he was such a Bulls fan in the 90s that when he was on stage, he would actually, like, have a monitor with the Bulls game that he would watch as he did guitar solos. All of these, like, really weird... And he never talked about his sports fandom or anything, but there's just a million...
Never talked about anything.
Yeah. There's a million different stories around him. So, yeah, it's possible that he was a druggie. It's possible that he was completely sober. But I just assume because he was so religious and shit like that. I don't see the Jehovah's Witnesses as big acid droppers.
He was also a sex idol. I think you forget that.
Fair point.
Fair enough.
And a musician. I don't see many Jehovah's Witnesses being pop idol or.
Do you see many? Do you see many Jehovah's Witnesses?
I've met a few. Met quite a few.
Have you?
I have.
I've met one.
Have you seen the YouTube clip of Prince talking about the Illuminati and chemtrails?
No.
He's a big conspiracy theorist.
He didn't believe in chemtrails, did he? You know Kylie Jenner believes in chemtrails?
What's a
Chemtrails, you'll get, you know when you see a jet flying and you see, like, the white
stream?
Well, there's a conspiracy going around that that's the government spraying chemicals to kill people.
Right.
And, like, probably give them, like, diseases.
I believe it.
There's a YouTube clip of him being interviewed on it, and he's a big conspiracy theorist that way. He's a crazy person. Kevin Smith also did, like, a really awesome...
Love Kevin Smith.
Yeah, he... Look up Kevin Smith Talks About Prince and bookmark it for later. It's like a half-hour story. Because Prince loved Kevin Smith's movies for some reason. And so he's like, I forget the movie. What's the science fiction, the really bad science fiction movie that Kevin Smith did? That's always on, like, Comedy Central and shit. That he did. Oh, fuck. Anyway, it's this really, like, weird out there movie. And I guess Kevin Smith and him met one time. And Prince was, like, talking about the themes of this movie. And Kevin Smith was like, you know, he was describing the plot of my movie. But if he had not named, like, specific plot beats and character points, I wouldn't have known he was talking about my movie. He was seeing things in it that, like, I didn't intend for at all.
Well.
So he was just so, like, out there, and he would think of everything differently, which is how musical geniuses operate. But, like,
man. Now I'm just trying to figure out what movie.
Dogma.
Oh,
I was going to say Dogma,
Dogma.
But I didn't know if that was Kevin Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, so he, apparently Prince was a big Dogma fan. So listen to that story. There's some more, like, urban legendy stuff. Yeah.
A lot.
He's a crazy person.
Yeah.
Was a crazy person. R.I.P. But a genius.
Which was harder? Now, I know this is about a year apart, but it's relevant. Which was harder? God. Zach, you're not going to have a preference. Prince's death or Jon Snow?
You know what's going to be really hard? I think here's what's harder than Prince's death. Sitting through weeks and weeks and weeks of Game of Thrones as they continue to drag out this Jon Snow plot point.
No, he's really dead.
Oh, my God.
I swear.
Fuck off. Just fucking fuck off. Yeah, no. How'd you dig the Game of Thrones premiere before we get out of here?
God.
Nick?
It was, yeah.
Why are you so down on this show?
I'm not down. I just don't really care where it goes.
I thought it was solid. I liked the premiere.
No, it was good. It was good. I enjoy the show. I just don't care where it goes.
A lot of naked old people, I guess, is a thing it's, that we're getting.
Yeah,
that we saw 400-year-old pussy on television the other
straight,
night.
Straight up.
400-year-old.
You want to see it?
No, I'm good.
Sure? Yeah. Pretty nice.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
Zach's angry. He got angry all of a sudden.
What if Prince...
This is probably my second most hated topic.
You're in election season and Game of Thrones season at the same time.
Oh, it's the sweet spot.
It's my personal hell.
It's the sweet spot.
Welcome, Zach.
What if Prince is like Melisandre in Game of Thrones, and that necklace with the Prince icon on it, he's really like this ancient being that's been around for hundreds of years.
And that allows him to be Prince?
Yeah, and it was anti-aging, and this is just a ruse. He's just going back to
being... Very clever.
Yeah.
Got us.
He's back into the body of Morgan Freeman now.
Oh, good.
Yeah. The anti-aging thing's wearing off.
No, that would make this year the worst if Morgan Freeman died. That would be the end of it.
Oh, knock on wood.
I'm not going to knock on wood because I want to be the first one who said it.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, boom. Knock on wood.
What did you just knock on?
His
just...
dick.
That was not your dick.
How do you know?
Fair enough.
What's the Photoshop? Reveal it now.
Oh.
Drum roll, please.
Well... How am I going to reveal this on
the audio? Turn it around.
And reveal this on audio.
All right, play along, everybody. Now go on the website and look at it in 3, 2.
This might be my best work.
Oh, my.
It might be my
take
best
out
work.
Take out the iron throw and I like it.
It's appropriate for the week.
So, yeah, this is
what happened last week.
This is Prince on the iron throw.
It's Prince sitting naked on the
Jupiter. Saturn.
I think it explains him pretty well. That is Jupiter. You're right.
Is it Jupiter?
Yeah.
Does it now?
Yeah. This is what happened last week. Yeah.
But why Saturn? Why Jupiter, rather?
It's his mind.
His mind is Jupiter.
It might as well be.
Well, it's not Uranus.
Certainly. Her anus, maybe.
That was actually pretty good. That was good. I like that.
All right, check out the link NicoEmpire.com to see Prince on the Iron Throne. Rest in peace to his royal badness. Listen to the podcast I did with my dad this week if you want more Prince analysis. We went into a deep dive. We talked about Prince for an hour and a half, and a lot of theories and love and admiration for him.
Love and admiration.
I think it's my it's like my second or third favorite podcast I've ever done. Nico Show's been flame these days, if I do say so myself. It's been
flame. Are you flaming?
No, it's been flame. It's hot, dude.
It's fire.
It's fire right now. It's not bad.
I think that's what he's trying to say.
No, flame. Flame's a...
There's several times where I wanted to punch Nico. You can add this to the list.
All right. Do you have a list of that?
I have a list.
Yo.
A list of all the stuff.
A list.
Nico.
I do that when I'm bored.
Nico
I'll
Show.
I'll recite Bo Burnham. Yeah.
You know what Nico Show is right now?
Say it.
It's hella flame. Hella flame right now.
Hella flame.
Hella flame. Drop it like it's hot.
Where's like a big hoax? I'm not even going to finish that.
All right. Rest in peace, greatest pop star of all time. We'll be back next
week. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is our 1 year.
Oh!
I just slipped that. Oh, you should have said that instead of fuck the audience.
Yeah, right at the end. Happy 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
Happy 1 year.
Sure, happy
fucking... Yeah, he had a motherfucker had to die.
I look forward to a tumultuous divorce, you guys.
I'm pretty pissed. He had to fucking die. Really should 1 year. Really. Selfish. Son of a bitch.
Really should have signed a prenup. You've all been naughty.
What did you take into the relationship?
Actually, no. You've all been bad.
I was going to say something along the line. Not like we're talking Michael Jackson bad or like Prince
because
bad.
I'm bad. Just like my mother. She's never satisfied. Why do we scream at each other?
Where's the stop button?
This is what it sounds like. When? Why is this a thing? Fucking ends. You've all been naughty.
Naughty.